Memory loss is a growing problem for many people. Not only that, but memory loss is a growing problem for many people. Sometimes that's because of age, as with these two chronologically mature ladies. One says, "My memory is so bad." "How bad is it?" the other asks. "How bad is what?" So sometimes the problem with memory is advancing age. Sometimes it's just nerves, a nervous thing. First day of school, can I remember the combination for my lock on my locker? Or I remember years ago in seminary, I was in my, I think the last semester of my third year of Greek, and every night you had to translate some passage from the Greek New Testament into English, and then he would call on various ones to share their translations with the class, and it was always the, "Nyah," you never wanted to be that guy. And sure enough, one day it came round to me, and so I was so nervous, and I shared my translation, and he actually praised it. He said, "It was very, very good." He said, "Except for one thing," he said, "look down at your text there," the Greek text, and he says, and he points out, and he says, "What's that mean?" And I just froze, so nervous. It was the definite article. It was the equivalent of the English word "the," and sometimes it's just nerves. You forget. You don't know. Sometimes it's distraction. It may just be that you get home and you've forgotten to stop off and grab the gallon of milk for supper, and it might be because you just have so much to do at work and you just got chewed out royally by your boss because you're not getting all that done just as you were going out the door, and you did remember that you had to stop off on the way home to get the oil changed, and you did remember that you need to stop by the post office and drop off the mail, and you did remember to go pick up your son from football practice, and you did remember that after supper you need to mow the yard, and then after that take a look at the water heater that's acting up, and somewhere in there you just forgot the milk. Does that sound like life for anybody? You just forget because there's just too much stuff going on. And sometimes it's a technological thing. I had a meeting a week or so ago with a pastor from another community, 30 minutes or so away. And we were set up for 1 o'clock for months probably, and weeks anyway. And 1 o'clock came and he wasn't here. And that's fine. I had work to do. I was working. About 1:10, the phone rings. And he says, "Hey, My phone just told me that I'm supposed to be in a meeting with you." He said, "But my Google Calendar doesn't say that I'm supposed to be in a meeting with you. I don't know. There must be something." I said, okay, I didn't actually say this, but I want to say my 69-cent Mark's calendar tells me that we're supposed to be in a meeting right now. It was fine, whatever. But sometimes the technology just gets us all messed up. So there's a lot of reasons for forgetfulness, but we should never forget that there's a spiritual element to forgetfulness. There's that sometimes it's a spiritual thing that we're forgetting. The Bible warns us over and over again about forgetting God. The Old Testament tells us repeatedly that Israel forgot God, forgot his laws, forgot his ways, forgot to honor him as God, forgot his grace. And in the New Testament, down to our day, this side of the cross and resurrection, it's a problem for individual followers of Christ. And that Peter recognizes here in chapter 1 and verse 9, which we saw in our last study. But he says there, "For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins." We tend to forget the incredible gift that is ours through the crucified, risen Savior, Jesus Christ. We tend to forget the massive nature of the grace that's been given to us. And the consequences of forgetting why you walked into a room or the gallon of milk on the way home are frustrating, but they're not lasting, really. But the consequences of spiritual forgetfulness are, and can be, spiritually disastrous. Peter knew it would only get worse with time, and as the complexities of the last days build and times get darker as we await Jesus' return, he knew that spiritual forgetfulness, spiritual memory loss, could only get more of a challenge. So he spoke very directly about it here in chapter 1, verse 12. Look and follow along as I read. 2 Peter 1:12. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Look over at chapter 3 and verse 1. Same letter. He says, this is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Do you see what Peter's getting at? He says, look, forgetting is my problem, so reminder is my need. All of us who are the children of God through faith in Christ have still within us something that makes us vulnerable to losing sight, losing perspective, losing clear recognition of the greatness of the grace given to us in Jesus. And we need constantly to be reminded of that truth so that we do not wander in our lives from the grace that's been given to us. So think about these words of the Apostle Peter, and let's think about the nature of the reminder that we need. We need reminders that are purposeful. For he says there in verse 12, therefore, I intend always to remind you. Therefore, what's the therefore, therefore? It's always a good question to ask. Well, he's building off of everything he's said so far, which is verses 1 to 4. You've been given an incredible grace by God through Jesus. Life eternal. You've been given great grace, a free gift of life, verses 1 to 4, verses 5 to 11. So intentionally do everything in your power, in Christ's power working in you, to grow in that life, in that relationship with God. That's what he said so far. Therefore, because you have been so blessed in Christ, and therefore because it behooves you then to intentionally pursue that relationship with him, I am going to remind you always of that. It's purposeful. And when he says, I intend, he's saying, I'm taking purposeful action right now in the present, in the form of this letter, by the way, so that in the future, you who read it will always have a reminder of the grace that's been given to you and your responsibility to pursue God in that grace. It's not only so that his original readers would have that reminder, but in God's mind, so that you and I sitting here today in 2013 would have that reminder as well. It's very purposeful. Now, there's a tendency in all of us to be drawn to the new, to the different, the, ooh, look at that. And when that comes into the realm of our spiritual lives, there is in us a proclivity toward, a vulnerability toward a desire for something new, something novel. I want to discover something in this book that I've never, I want to hear somebody teach something I've never heard out of this book before. We have an appetite for that new, the improved, the novel, the difference. The entire advertising world is built upon laying hold of that. Somebody just the other day I was talking with was telling me out of their experience in the marketing world, you know, if it's a proven fact, it's demonstrably backed up by evidence that if you change the name, you change the packaging, you rebrand the product, leave the product all the same, but you change all of that, put it back out, you can, by sheer rebranding, repackaging, new and improved and whatever, increase sales by 20%. Because that's in us. Now, God says that my job, your job as believers in Christ, is to purposely expose ourselves to that which hopefully we already know. Now, yes, of course, when you study the Word of God, there's no one can plumb the depths of the Bible. These are our divine words breathed out by the Spirit with eternal implications. We're always discovering. It's always new and fresh to us. But the fact is that we if you've walked with God and pursued Him and studied His Word over a period of years, the fact is you're probably going to spend most of the rest of your years relearning many of the same basic truths, simply at deeper and deeper levels and in terms of application to new and different circumstances. And my job as a preacher and teacher of God's Word is not to wow you with something, I've never heard anybody say that before. I've never seen that in the Bible before. There's plenty of guys on TV who will try to tell you they can do that. But the job of a local church pastor is to faithfully take the Word of God and say, here's what it says. And there's never any such thing as, listen, Sunday school teacher, Bible study leader, and those who go to them, preacher. There is no such thing as just a reminder of the truth of God out of His Word. Now, it needs to be presented in a fresh way so that it catches us from a new angle, so we see how it applies in a new set of circumstances in our lives. We need to labor hard to do that, absolutely. But if I tell you something that's never been seen before in the Bible, chances are it's not really there. So purposely, intending, based on the great grace given us in Jesus and the responsibility to in response to that grace to pursue Him, we need reminders that are purposeful. We need reminders that are perpetual. Therefore, I intend always, he says, to remind you. Always. The need for reminder doesn't go away just because we've been once reminded. Right, husbands? Okay, I'll ask what? Right, wives? Yeah, just because we've been once reminded doesn't mean we don't need to be reminded again. Many of you will know, if you're involved in life groups, that our life groups, like this week, tonight, and on through the rest of the week when you meet, will be discussing this message when you get together, and the applications of that, and what that looks like. Now, I don't know whether you know it or not, but I write the discussion questions for those because I'm the one working on the sermon, and it's pretty hard for somebody else to write those until they hear the sermon. So I write those generally on Saturday afternoon after I've finished up the final preps and stuff like that. Late in the afternoon, I'll get that done, and I'll send that off to Pastor Don, and then Don gets it out to the leaders and discuss. So that happens during the life group year. Obviously, I don't write those during the summer when life groups don't meet. So when the fall comes, I have to say to myself, okay, got to remember to start writing questions for the life groups and get those out. Got to do that. Got a new discipline every fall. Got to do that. You know, you get used to it after. Well, but so a few weeks ago, as life groups are getting ready to start, Pastor Don and I meet on Wednesday afternoons, talk, pray, work, and so forth. And I said, yeah, I got to remember on Saturday to get you those questions. He said, yeah, I can do it. Yeah. Thursday, I said to myself, Saturday, got to write the questions and get them out. Friday, I thought to myself, come tomorrow, I've got to write those questions to get those out. Saturday morning, I said to Julie, hey, today's the day. I've got to remember to write those questions before I'm all done with everything and get those out to Don. Sunday morning, in the shower, I remembered, oh yeah, I was supposed to send those questions out. This proof that just because we've reminded ourselves or been reminded by somebody else once or twice or 10 times doesn't mean we don't need the ministry of reminder perpetually. Therefore, I intend always to remind you, Peter said. Never a time in the Christian life that we outgrow the need for the ministry of reminder. That is to say that we need reminders that are impartial. Look what he says. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I know you know this, Peter says, but I'm going to tell you again anyway. Because it's so important. So I'm not going to play favorites. I'm not going to say, well, you know, you guys know this already. I'm going to go over and tell some other people. No, I'm going to remind you about it as well. Now, I'm going to refer to several scriptures, and we're not going to have time to turn to all of them. So just jot down the references if you like and look up later. As I kind of sweep through the New Testament and describe to you something of the breadth of the ministry of reminder that God has in mind. The ministry of reminder is for those who are new in the faith, or relatively new in the faith. As apparently the believers on the island of Crete were, where Paul had left Titus to help organize the work and appoint leaders. In Titus chapter 3, verse 1, he says to Titus, remind them, that is, remind these virtually brand new believers, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient and to be ready for every good work. The ministry of reminders is for those who are new in the faith. It's for those who are struggling in their faith, as were the believers in the city of Corinth. You can read 1 Corinthians and find out they had all kinds of problems there. The church was a mess. And the people, many of them were struggling deeply in their faith and its application to life. And he writes in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17, referring to why he sent Timothy to them, to minister to them. He said, that is why I sent Timothy to you, Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ, which, as I teach them everywhere in every church. Timothy's role of ministry in that assignment was to go and remind them, not bring them new things. They were struggling to apply the things they already knew. So it's for those who struggle in their faith. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 2:14 about how Timothy was to help people who were struggling. In their faith, he said, remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which do no good but only ruin the hearers. So ministry of reminder is for those who are new in their faith, those who are struggling in their faith. It's for those who are growing in their faith. The book of Romans chapter 15, verses 14 and 15, Paul says, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to instruct one another. You're doing great in your faith. You're growing in your faith. But on some points, I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder because of the grace given me by God. For those who are growing in their faith. 2 Timothy 1, 5 and 6, Paul said, I am reminded of your sincere faith, as he spoke to Timothy. I'm reminded that your faith is the real deal. And for that reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. You're doing great. You have faith in Christ. You're serving the Lord. You're being faithful in a tough place. Timothy, God bless you. I'm reminding you. Just don't forget. Fan into flame that gift. Those struggling in their faith, those new in their faith, those growing in their faith, and for those who already know God's truth, which is the point here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Though you already know them and are established in the truth, I'm going to remind you of them. Jude, verse 5, similarly says, I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. He says, you've known this, but I'm telling you again as a way of reminder. And it's a ministry, the ministry of reminders, for those we've never even met before. Paul had never been to the city of Rome when he wrote the letter to them. He had not met them face to face, heard of their faith. And he says in chapter 15, verse 15, on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder, though I only hear about your faith. So we need reminders that are impartial. We don't say, no, I think you want the classroom down the hallway because, you see, we're here into deep Bible study. Oh, sorry. We don't ever get past the need. The ministry of reminder. There exists no Christian who doesn't need that. Run into a few who think they don't. That's not all that pleasant. We need ministries of reminder that are faithful. He says in verse 13, I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. I think it right. He means right not in the ethical or moral sense so much as in the sense of personal duty. Peter's saying, I am unfaithful to God if I don't keep on reminding you of the truth of the gospel, the greatness of the grace you've been given, your need to pursue God in that grace and grow in that relationship. I'm derelict in my duties if I don't do that. I'm just doing my job. I'm being faithful to my call. I mean, when a mother, you know, hollers as the child goes out the door, be sure to put your coat on! She's just being mom. That's what moms do. Right? She says, have you got your lunch? But she's being mom, because that's what moms do. Father says, did you finish your homework first? And he's only ever had to say that once in his entire life. No, he's just being a dad. Child gets older. How long has it been since you changed the oil in your car? just being a dad. That's what dads do. We need reminders that are faithful. Faithful reminders, however, sometimes feel like nagging. But it isn't the same thing. Somebody once said that nagging is like being nibbled to death by a duck. There's no pleasure in the nibbling, and there's no relationship to the duck. Reminder, I think, is more like being cheered on by a personal trainer. They push you. You don't necessarily like it in the moment. I mean, you don't want to hear, "One more!" You know, "I can't do one more." But you do like where they're taking you and their commitment to faithfully do everything in their power to cheer you on to that goal. And we need faithful reminders that keep us on track in pursuing the Lord. We need reminders that are habitual. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of a reminder, Peter says. As long as I am in this body, as long as there's breath in these lungs and blood pumping through these veins, I will remind you. Now, I don't know for sure, but I'm going to just guess that you regularly brush your teeth. I'm not coming around to check. I just I'm guessing you do that. Regularity could be once a month, could be every day, twice a day. I don't know what it is, but I'm guessing it's some regularity you brush your teeth, and it's some regularity. Hopefully, you wash your body and change your clothes and wash those clothes, and with some regularity you wash your hands. And you will do so as long as you are in that body. And if you get to the point where you can't do it yourself, you'll get somebody else who can do it for you. Because you need that. And just as you need habitually, as a course of life, as long as there's breath in your lungs and blood pumping through your veins to brush your teeth and wash your body and so forth and so on, so we need continual, habitual reminders of the truth of God. Because we are prone to wander. "Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love," the hymn says. "I forget the greatness of the grace given me in Jesus. And I forget to make him first in every moment of my day, to seek him, to seek to live my life for him and with him." You know, your soul is a lot more precious than your teeth. Teeth are pretty valuable. You realize that when you start losing some of them. But your soul's more precious. And your obedience to God is more urgent than your need for water. But how many days do you go without water or liquids of any kind? So we need reminders that are habitual. We need reminders that are confrontational. I think it right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up. To stir you up by way of reminder. It means, the word in Greek there means to waken from sleep. I think NIV has refresh. That's too weak. It's a stronger word than that. It's the, you're snuggled in bed and you're cozy on a cold fall morning and you're feeling great. And you're so far asleep you don't even know you're feeling great. And then somebody throws a bucket of ice cold water on your head. And you love them for it. No, but fact is, you are awake. You're awake now. You know, a person who's feared to have experienced a concussion, their friends and family are said, "Don't let them go to sleep." Somebody in threat of hypothermia, freezing to death, "Don't let them go to sleep." You ever had to drive overnight, long distance, and you're, you know it's like 4:30 and you're, you know, you're falling asleep and got all the windows are rolled down and the air conditioner's running and you've got music blaring and you're slapping yourself and you're singing E-I-E-I-O down the road and you're biting your lip and everything because you want so desperately just to go to sleep. Well, we need, here's the way one Greek scholar describes the word here. He says, we need words that stab the believer awake. Stab the believer awake. And we need reminders like that from time to time. Listen to the boldness that is woven into the ministry of reminder, as the New Testament describes it, Romans 15:15. On some points, Paul says, I have written you very boldly by way of reminder. 2 Timothy 2:14, Paul says to Timothy, remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words. It says to Titus, declare these things, exhort, rebuke with all authority, let no one disregard you, remind them. So sometimes we need the sharp stick in the backside. Come on, you know? What are you doing? That choice does not make sense in light of the grace given you in Jesus and your need to pursue intentionally a deepening relationship with Him. We need reminders that are vital. He says in verse 14, he's going to do all this reminding, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. Peter's saying, listen, I understand. I don't have much time left. This is vital to me because I understand better maybe than you the realities of eternity pressing in on me. He knew he was, you remember the account in John 21 where Jesus, having risen from the dead, meets the disciples and he recommissions Peter after his defection and says, feed my sheep, you love me, feed my sheep, and so forth. Well, then he goes on, he says, truly, truly, he's speaking to Peter, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. In other words, you controlled your agenda, you did what you liked to do. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. And you go, well, what's that mean? John says, this he said to show by what kind of death Peter was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to Peter, follow me. Tradition tells us that Peter was crucified in Rome. And when he found out he was to be crucified, at his own request, they crucified him upside down, saying, I'm not worthy to suffer death in the same manner as my Lord. And he's just simply saying, listen, Jesus said, when I'm old, I'm going to give up my life for Jesus. And guess what, folks? I look in the mirror and I know I'm old. So I don't have much time left here. I don't know exactly when it's going to be, but it's probably not going to be very long. And I don't have much time left, and so I'm telling you, with my last breaths, with my dying heartbeats, with everything in me, as long as I'm in this body, and I know that the putting off of this body this is right upon me, I'm going to remind you of the things of God, the greatness of the grace given you in Jesus, and your need to pursue intentionally a relationship that deepens every day with Him. I was reading a book a while back, finished it a few weeks ago, in fact. Pretty good book, actually, but it's written by a kind of an up-and-coming, younger, real go-getter leader in the evangelical world, pastor, preacher. And it was a book about preaching, and it was, as I say, a lot of really good stuff in there and everything, but there was a point in there where I just said, you know, man, I'm just not with you there. And he keeps saying, he was kind of trying to make the point, which is a valid point, it's a good point, but he said, you know, don't try to say too much in any one message and everything. But then he said, to justify that, he said, there's always next Sunday. You got a whole lifetime of Sundays to preach this. And I thought, written like a young guy, not an ever increasingly older guy. Because when I look, and I, you know, you don't know how much, we none of us know how much time we got. But you know, all things averaging out, whatever, if you get the average, I think, I look at this and I see how much I'm never going to be able to preach. It's there. Not like, well, yeah, there's always next week. I don't know that there's going to be next week. And I don't know that you're going to be here next week. And so we need reminders that are vital in the sense that they're given standing between heaven and hell, time and eternity, life and death, and said, look, we none of us know. But as one who's inching forward toward whatever it is to come, I'm telling you, we got to look again at Jesus. what the gospel means, how it ought to be applied in our lives. We need reminders that are exhausting in this sense, for the one making the reminder. Verse 15, he says, "And I will make every effort so that after my departure you may be able to, at any time, to recall these things." I will make every effort. Same phrase used in verse 10 when he told the readers, be all the more diligent. Same phrase he used in verse 15 where he told the believers, make every effort to grow in your relationship with God. He says, now, here's what I'm doing with my last efforts, with my last ounces of strength. I'm making every effort right now in penning this letter to you so that you can have it with you after I'm gone, and it can serve as my goad to you to remember and go forward with God. Even if it exhausts me. Peter has, really in verse 15, discloses his bucket list. And there's only one thing in it. I want to pin this letter so I can remind God's people and leave it with them as a perpetual reminder before I go home. That's what I want to do. Interesting, I read a blog post the other day. How many of you recognize the name J.I. Packer? Famous theologian, author, good number of you do. Greatly used of God, book Knowing God's a classic Christian literature. He's 87 now, I believe it is, and in failing health. I listened to a video posting of his not long ago, and he's got some serious health issues he's struggling with. But this blog post was done by somebody else, and it was a plea to pray for him and pray for the publisher he works with, because J.I. Packer is trying to complete what they say will be his magnum opus of all of his writings, his systematic theology, to complete that before he passes away. He's writing with that, I was going to say deadline, but that takes on a new meaning, doesn't it? You know, with that end goal, that before I pass, I will complete this so that I can leave this systematic theology for the ages to come. The believers will still remain to goad them to pursue God and to live in His grace. Because he believes that now at this stage of his life and the energies he has and whatever, to exhaust himself in that is the most strategic way he can serve the Lord and the people of God. What are we doing to remind ourselves and to remind others of our need? And then finally, we need reminders that are scriptural. He says, and I make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. What has Peter done so that even after he dies, these people will have a purposeful, perpetual, impartial, faithful, habitual, confrontational, vital reminder? He's written this letter. And this letter is Scripture. The reminder that we need is the Bible itself. And what the Bible speaks of to us about the Lord Jesus, about the greatness of His grace and mercy to us, God becoming man, living among us perfectly, going to the cross, bearing our sins, paying our penalty, releasing us from the debt of our sins, breaking the power of sin over our life, rising again from the dead in eternal life, being seated at the right hand of the Father, pouring out His Holy Spirit, and coming again one day. We need to be reminded of these things and the need that this massive grace instills in us to continue to pursue to know Him in this grace and to distribute this grace to all the peoples of the earth. Now, the reminder we need is the Bible itself, what the Bible teaches us about Christ and the things of God. We need reminders that are scriptural in that it's always rooted here, it always grows out of here, it's always connected back to here, it's always expounded from here. Not just somebody's good idea. Surely, the first time you hear the gospel, if you've never heard the gospel before, it's new. But the fact is that once you hear it, every other time you hear it is, in some sense, a reminder. Yes, probably an expansion upon new dimensions of the truth about seen from a different light, made a new application to a new area of life. But it's a reminder. Look at chapter 3 and verse 1 again. It says, now this is the second letter that I am writing to you. First and second Peter. Right here in your Bible, This is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. Sincerity is not enough for you. You need sincerity and the constant reminder of the truth, that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. So 1 and 2 Peter were written primarily as reminders to those who already had heard the truth. Jude, according to verse 5 in that letter, was written primarily as a reminder to those who would read it. The book of Romans, the greatest theological document ever penned, the Apostle Paul's magnum opus, says it was written, chapter 15, verse 15, as a reminder. So why does Peter speak so much about all this reminding? Well, because, look what he's already said, chapter 1, look at verse 3. God's divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory, to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Everything we need for life now, in service to God, in relationship to him, in fulfilling our purpose, for all of the trials of life, all of the concerns of life, all the questions of life, everything we need for life and godliness is found here in the pages of the Bible. Given to us by God's own power and mercies, and disclosed to us in precious and very great promises, so that as we take them up by faith, we actually begin to share in that eternal life, that very nature of resurrected eternal life that belongs to Jesus. So he's already given to us everything, every answer to every question we have? No. No, but everything we need for life and godliness. So just hear me when I say, what we need, folks, is not a new revelation. We don't need some quack to stand up and say, oh, God just revealed to me the entire end time scenario and I want to tell you about it right now in my book that's only $14.95. Please buy it. We don't need that. Because God has already told us. We don't need a prophet who's going to stand up and say, oh, did you hear that? I never heard that before. That's really, what do you think of that? What do you make of that? I don't know. We need the faithful exposition of God's word. We don't need a loose leaf Bible with three rings so that you can push all the stuff you already got to the front, open the rings, and put in new stuff as it comes along. Because we've already been given it. And what we need is to be reminded of what God has already given to us. Has he told us everything? No. I mean, how could finite minds take it in if he had? He's given us more a mine of truth so deep we'll never fully mine it in this life. Always learning, always growing, always discovering, but really being reminded of the beauty, the complexity, and the dimensions, and the applications, and the glories, and the life that is in this gospel of Jesus. The profound and wonderful saving wisdom that is in it as we apply it to our lives. That's precisely why verses 16 through 21 follow after verses 12 through 15. Because, as we'll see in our next study, he begins to speak about the not only the life preserver of reminder, but the life, next time, the life preserver of the scriptures themselves to us. So what we need are not new revelations. Things that we don't yet know. What we need is a reminder of the revelation that God has already given to us because it's fully sufficient and it enables us. So what are we to do with all this? Two things. Here it is. Regularly, habitually, intentionally read, study, memorize, and meditate upon God's word. You doing that? Because you need to self-remind as you study and read, memorize God's word. Regularly, habitually, intentionally expose yourself to God's word by sitting under the instruction of one who faithfully teaches it. hopefully, by God's grace, I'm being faithful, and you're doing that right now, but we need to do that as a habit of life. Why do we need to do that? Well, pretty simple, because we have a tendency to forget. We forget the greatness and the grace that's been given to us, as he's told us in verses 1 to 4, and we forget the intentionality of the life that grace demands of us. You say to yourself, I don't forget that easily. Really. What'd you have for supper Tuesday night? What'd you read in the Bible Thursday morning? What did I preach about 6 weeks ago? See, it was all important at the time, wasn't it? I mean, what you ate Tuesday night was important. It got you through to Wednesday morning, right? And the truth you took in from God's Word on Thursday morning from the Bible was important because it fed you for that day and got you through to Friday. Right? But each and every day needs its own reminder. Because unless we remember our need to read and feed regularly, we will die. We will die. We will die spiritually of forgetfulness. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. It's infallible, inerrant, fully inspired, God-breathed record of your truth, your mercies to us in Jesus. Help us to regularly go be reminded there as we sit before you and hear your word again, your gospel all over again. Show us afresh what it means, how it applies, the comfort it gives, the wisdom it imparts, the life that it promises. And God, as we gather each Sunday and throughout the week in studies and fellowships, would you please, through your word, remind us again faithfully of this truth, that we might each and every day be fed, filled, grown, satisfied, nurtured, and that life might be lived under your lordship because of it. We'll trust you for this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you.